We want to welcome you to OEM today, especially if it is your first time here. We want to extend a warm welcome to you, let you know that we do have a welcome center located between the two main buildings outside. There will be somebody in the front with a welcome sign that can guide you there. And if you have any questions, that's a great place to start. You can meet some of our pastors there as well. And also today is the first Sunday in Advent in preparation for celebrating the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. And look at our website this week. We're hoping to put in some resources and some Advent devotionals for you guys to enjoy during this Advent season. So check back later this week for those. And also during our Christmas season as well, we have an annual Christmas fundraiser. And what this is basically we like to raise funds to bless our missionaries who are serving all around the world. Away from home, they might get a little bit lonely this time of year. And we want to bless them with just different types of Christmas gifts and let them know that we are thinking of them. Also, our orphanages, our elderly ministry, our homeless ministry, our various mercy ministries that we help, we like to bless them during the season when finances can get a little bit tight for them. So we encourage you guys to make a cash donation if you're able to. As you do exit, some of the ushers will be holding a Christmas fundraiser box that you could put a cash donation there as well. And also, we have a flyer with our bank details as well. So if you'd like to make an online donation, that is another option for you. So our goal this year is to raise about 10 million won. And I think we do have a slide that shows how much we've raised so far. I don't think our drummer's there anymore, but we could get a fake drum roll with all of your laps, right? And we have about 3 million. So that's not too bad. So a couple more weeks to go, and we hope that we can exceed that goal to bless as many people as we can this year as well. So thanks for all of you who have given so far. We definitely appreciate that. Also, in light of Christmas coming up, we like to do an outreach of Christmas caroling. So if you like to sing Christmas carols, but you don't want to be in front of a mic, this is for you, all right? And so you will be able to really go out on December 22nd and bless. So we visit some hospitals, sometimes we go to our homeless ministry, various places, where we can really bless people on this holiday season. So if you'd like to be a part of that, contact David Fisher. His email is provided for you in the bulletin as well, and you guys can be a part of that. Again, no tryouts, so it's okay. You know, you could just sing your heart out there. Also, there's a lot of ministry serving opportunities with our Hope Zone, which is our infant ministry, newsletter if you like writing, and parking ministry. We'd love to have some people help with some greeting in that capacity as well. So with that, let's pray. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer right now and ready our hearts to receive His Word. And let's expect great things from our great God. So let's give Him our hearts right now in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, how we love your law. God, make that our prayer. Make that our life. That your law would be the meditation of our lives all the day long. Lord, we love your law because your commandments make us wiser than our enemies, for it is ever with us. Lord, we have more understanding than all of our teachers, for your testimonies are the meditation of our hearts. We understand more than the aged, for we keep your precepts. We hold back our feet from every evil path in order to keep your word. We do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught us. How sweet are your words to our taste, sweeter than honey to our mouths. Through your precepts we gain understanding, therefore we hate every false way. Father, we pray that love for you and that love for your word would be the testimony of the lives of your people here today. God, give us understanding that we might know that your words not only are the source of wisdom, your words are life. So Lord, as we feast, as we hear, as we meditate, as we hear your word today, breathe new life into this place. so that as we go forth into this city, we would carry with us the fragrance, the aroma, and the life of Jesus living in us. And in this world that is dying, let the word and the gospel in the hearts of your people breathe out life in resurrection power in this world that is dying for truth. Father, I ask that you would bless this place with an overflow of your sweet presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We ask that you would be our teacher and our guide. Holy Spirit, fill me, anoint me, consecrate me, and by the grace of God, preach through me today so that the words that I speak would bring honor to the name of Jesus and breathe life to your people. Father, use your Son for your glory. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer. And in your name we pray. Amen. You know, spotting leaders can be challenging. There is a leadership void and a leadership crisis in this world that Howard Hendricks, a leadership professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, has often declared for this generation. And the greatest of that crisis is finding and discovering leaders of God with character, with a heart, not to build up their own name, but a heart to build up the name of Jesus Christ. You know, but even though finding and spotting new leaders can be a challenge, John Maxwell, who is a preeminent author on the topic of leadership, he says one way that we could spot new leaders is to realize that as you evaluate talent and as you evaluate people within your organization, understand that every person in an organization is either an asset or a liability. That they are either going to help you or hurt you depending on if you place them in that position of leadership. He says about this principle in his book, Developing the Leaders Around You, that this is most revealed when problems surface, because you will always have problems that come up. There will always be problems in organizations because we live in a sin-stained, cursed, fallen world. But the key is not finding people who can identify problems, because anybody can do that. The key is when problems get identified or when problems surface, it is about how people respond to those problems that will distinguish whether or not they are an ideal leader candidate or not. And this is the example that he gives. He says, consider and think about all problems that surface to be like a fire. So a fire is raging, or a fire is lit within your organization, representing a problem. And you need to see every single person as holding two buckets. One bucket holds water, one bucket holds gasoline. And so you need to determine which bucket these people are pouring into, that fire or the problem. When we see a problem, anyone can complain about it. Anyone can be a identifier of problems. Anyone can be someone who grieves about the difficulty of a situation. But it takes a true leader candidate to be able to not only spot a problem, but solve a problem. You see, what we choose to do after we discover a problem determines if we are an asset or a liability to that group. Do we help solve the problem and find solutions with the water of our ability, or do we make the problem bigger by throwing gasoline on it? You see, I've worked with a lot of different people and a lot of different servants, a lot of different volunteers within, I think, roughly about 14 years of my full-time ministry right now. And one of the greatest joys is when you are working with people or you are serving with people who not only can spot problems, but they actually solve problems. That is one of the greatest joys. That when you have people like that in your life, That is a huge blessing because average leaders can spot problems, but it is the above average leader that doesn't just look at problems, but they look for solutions. We're fortunate. We are blessed in OEM because on our staff, our full-time and part-time staff, we have a lot of people who are solution-based leaders, and I'm extremely thankful for that. I could give you so many examples, but one practical example that I want to give and actually honor would be our staff who oversaw our Hope Zone. So it is our infant ministry, our baby infant care ministry that right now is in the Skyway. We used to, you know, we're fighting for the nursery downstairs, but because of, again, space constraints, time constraints, all these things, we had to move back into the foyer area. Now, the average leader would be like, approach this problem like this. Hey, Eddie, we have a lot more babies these days, and we don't have room. And fold their hands and say, what are you going to do about it? Okay, that's what the average person will do, not knowing that I have like 50 billion other things on my plate. And so it is something, obviously a concern, and I want to find a solution, I want to think about it, but that's the average leader, can spot problems. Eddie, here's another problem you have, here's another problem OEM has, here's another problem Curry has, here's another problem that Only the Church has, and then they just throw it at me. What are you going to do? Right? So that's the average leader. But the above average leader, before they even tell me about the problem, they spot it and they seek to solve it. And I want to honor, you know, our newest part-time staff, Mike Kim. He did that. So he saw, all right, so there's a problem, and so let me figure out a solution. We'll use the Skyway. I'll figure out how to change the temperature to make sure it's warm. I'll come early to set up with mats to make it as comfortable as possible for families, and now that is somewhat of a comfortable place for families and children to worship together with. So he didn't just say, here's the problem. He said, Eddie, here's the problem I'm sure you're aware of, but also here's the solution. Let's try this one, and I will take the lead for it. That's being an asset. That's being a leader, and in many ways, that's being an ideal leader. And I think we could apply the same principle for our service for the kingdom of God as well. So the question we want to ask is, who would be the ideal leader type in God's eyes? Right. So are you someone God can look to and say, this is how leadership is supposed to be done? And our text for today actually addresses this. It is a song of David once again. We saw a song that David sang last week, and we'll see one more song today. And this song actually sings of God's ideal leader. Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we're going to look at a few traits that is honored throughout this passage today of God's ideal leader. And I hope that as we learn these principles today, we'll move from being a liability to becoming an asset in God's kingdom through every opportunity that we are given. So follow along with me in your outline as well. So the question we want to answer today is, who is God's ideal leader? Well, our passage highlights a few elements. God's ideal leader is one who gives glory to God. So everyone repeat, gives glory to God. That is foundational, that the glory the leader seeks is not his or her own glory, but they seek the glory of God and his name. So let's look at 2 Samuel 23, starting from verse 1. It says, now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. Now, it begins by saying that these are the last words of David. Now, it does not mean that these are the final words that David says, and right after he says this last word, he dies. This is more functioning as the last public statement of David's public career as king, his last public speech, if you will. And this is also called, in verse 1, an oracle of David. And the word oracle is letting us know that these words are of prophetic nature, originating from God. That these are not just his own words, they are God's words that we are about to hear. And so God is honoring his son and his servant David for his lifetime of service for him. And it begins by calling David with three particular titles. Now, some interesting titles are spoken of here. He is called the son of Jesse. He is called the anointed of the God of Jacob. And he is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. What is the significance behind these titles? Let's look at them one at a time. So the first title that David is being honored for is the son of Jesse, his earthly father. Now, at the end of David's life, why does God and David suddenly speak of his father, Jesse? It's strange because Jesse has no recorded history in Israel except the fact that he fathered David. It shows us that David came from a humble background. Okay, so he came from a humble tribe, from a humble land, from a humble family. From obscurity, from being a shepherd boy, he became king. And after it says that David was the son of Jesse, it says, the man who was raised on high. David is giving glory to God for the journey that his life took. He says, I came from a place of humble beginnings, but it is God who put me on this throne. God is the one who put me in the place of influence to lead his people. So God raised David from obscurity to a place of great influence. And the encouraging word that this opening title, that David was the son of Jesse, that you would have never even known of Jesse if not for his son who later would become king. It is encouraging us with this truth that your past does not determine your future. Your past is not the key factor to determine how God will use you. Your past education is not what God looks at to see if you will graduate to the next level of kingdom service. What your parents did or who your parents were is not the determining factor of a life being used by God. No matter what you did, no matter who you were before or what your parents said to you, some of your parents, they told you that you're nothing, you're not going to accomplish anything. But no matter what your life was like in the past, there is good news for you today that your past does not determine your future. God can take anyone and turn them into a someone because that someone becomes a son or a daughter of God through Christ. Your past is not the key factor. It is your faith in God that is key. You know, it is one who realizes, I have nothing apart from Christ. I am nothing apart from Christ. So that when God gives, we know that it is gifts. And we give him glory. And that's important to do within our journey. That we look back at where we came from. And we realize that it is by the grace of God that I am who I am. David is also called the anointed of the God of Jacob. So God lifted David up, anointed him as king over a nation, and then he is referred to as the God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob, of all the forefathers of faith? As God used Jacob to form the nation of Israel, God now raised up David to be the king of that nation through which Jesus would eventually come. And David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was the poet and the songwriter of Israel. Much of the psalms that we sing and read today, they were written by the hand of David. And we need to understand that this is an honorable title, that he is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. You see, the purpose of art is to express the beauty of God and exalt the majesty of God. David used words, poems, songs, music to paint a picture of the glory and the beauty of God. Poetry and artistry are the colors of doxology. There was once a time in church history where art was honored as a tool of worship. But we've lost some of that in our day and age. But I want to tell all the artists in our ministry today, all who are hearing, that God has gifted you with art, ability, with drawing, with dance, with music, with singing, that was given to you to express the beauty of God. All artistry are the colors of doxology. Amen? You see, this past week, our staff went to Pohang for the first House of Hope fundraiser. And if you weren't here when I mentioned what House of Hope was, I'll give you a brief reminder and update. It's going to be the first Christ-centered aftercare center shelter for victims of sex trafficking in Korea. And also, it will function as a Christ-centered crisis pregnancy center for young moms as well. And so we went down as a staff, and it was great to see people gather together to fund, pray for, support this incredible project of justice that God is raising up in this nation. So it was beautiful. So our staff, we took the KTX bullet train down to Gyeongju because that's where the station is, and then we rented a van and went to Pohang. I was really excited about this trip because I got a chance to take our staff to visit my hometown. If you guys didn't know, I was actually born in Gyeongju. It's a very rural area, a very humble countryside city. But I like to brag that it's the city of kings. A lot of the former kings were buried there. I think, I don't know how many centuries ago, it used to be the capital of Korea, in case you did not know, right? So whenever I visit, though, because my grandfather still lives there, I will always think and wonder, what would have my life been like if my family never immigrated to the U.S.? So we left Gyeongju and moved to Chicago when I was 2 years old. But I'm always curious, like, man, what if we never immigrated? That I would have grown up in Gyeongju. Well, first of all, my Korean would be a lot better, right? But also, you know, whenever I look at little kids in the running the streets of Gyeongju, I'd be like, man, that could have been me. Or if I see, like college-age students in their unique dress, I'm like, man, that would have been me, you know? Or, you know, when I see people who are my age working and stuff, I say, oh man, you know, that could have been me. And so I always play around with that. You know, of course, by the grace of God, maybe God would have orchestrated still for me to be a pastor, not of an English ministry probably, right? But of a Korean ministry. And actually, Pastor Joel, he also was born in Korea, and he immigrated, I believe, when he was 5. We were talking actually while we were there. I was like, oh man, it'd be funny. It's like, what would we be doing? You know, and we're like, oh, maybe if we like grew up in Korea, God would have sent us to the U.S. to be a Korean ministry pastor. You know, we're like, oh man, oh yeah, maybe something like that. The other scenario is actually I have a very close cousin. We're similar age, and supposedly we always play together because he lived nearby. But what he's doing now is he owns like 3 flower shops in Gyeongju. And so I'd be like, man, maybe we would have gone into business together. We'd open like 6 flower shops, you know? I don't know. But what God does is he reminds me every time I go there that I came from very humble surroundings. And it is by the grace of God alone that God orchestrated a way for me to be in the U.S., be trained for ministry work, and God sends me back to this country to be his servant for his people. It's part of my testimony. And what this song is declaring is part of David's testimony, that he is the son of Jesse. He is from a small, humble family, small, humble town, but yet God raised him up to be his servants in a glorious way. It is not to boast in what we have done, but to boast in what God has done through us and what God has done in spite of us. That is the purpose and the power of testimonies, to give glory to God. We exist to do all things to the glory of his name. Amen. You see, everyone is a nobody until we find Christ, and he makes us a somebody. And after we become a somebody in Christ, our role is to declare to everybody the greatest somebody in all the world, Jesus Christ, so that they might truly be somebody that God intended them to be and to give him glory. It is saying, I am who I am by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Can you say that to somebody? I am who I am by the grace of God. But also by the grace of God, he does not keep us as we are. Amen. Another element of God's ideal leader is that he or she is guided by the fear of God. So everyone repeat, guided by the fear of God. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. So what God reveals here is that great blessings fall upon people when their leader leads with justice and leads in the fear of God. Now, look at verse 3 again more carefully. This is a parallel statement, meaning that it is saying the same thing, but in a different way. So those who fear God will lead with justice. Why? Because true justice is living in the fear of God. Why do we pursue justice? It is because we fear and honor, revere and respect our God. Why do we treat people with dignity? Because they were made in the image of God. Why do we care for the vulnerable? Because they are valuable to God. True justice is living in the fear of God. And when God's leaders lead with justice, blessings flow. So, when one rules justly, look at verse 3. So, when one rules justly, with justice over men, and the parallel statement, he's just repeating it in a different way now. So if you rule with justice, when you lead with justice, you are also leading or ruling in the fear of God. So if you respect, have deep reverence for God, your heart's concern is also for justice. I was fascinated that this verse was in the Bible, right? Because I'm working currently on a book on justice through the church. And this is one verse that I did not notice until this study through this series, that when you think about a nation that has corruption, when a leader does not lead with justice, there is great heartache for the people under that leader's reign. But it is only when a leader leads with justice, care and concern for the oppressed, for the weak, for the vulnerable, that is when blessings flow to the people under that leader's reign. So great blessings fall on those who are led by justice. Verse 4 says that he dawns on them. So now these are the blessings that flow from a leader who leads with justice. He dawns on them like morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloud this morning. So again, it is radiant, it is light, it is beautiful. A shining morning sunlight upon a cloudless morning sky. Verse 4 is saying. Then it says, the blessings for the people will be like the rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. So, the two images that is being highlighted here for blessings, when there is a leader who leads with justice, for the people, there is light and life. When justice comes, darkness is driven away by the light of God's goodness in the leader of justice, and life is restored. That is one of the key functions of justice, to make sure that darkness has no room to grow and to bring forth life back to the people. Blessings will come in the form of light and life as we pursue justice for the trafficked victim. Blessings of light and life will come to the orphan, to the unborn, to the single mom, because we are pursuing justice for them. I want to actually share a couple of pretty cool testimonies that happened this past week in light of our pursuit of justice. So, word has gotten around that our church is one that has a heart for justice. And as a result, people contact us from all around the world. People who are in law enforcement, people who are in investigative reports, people who are fighting for trafficked victims, for the unborn, for refugees, for all of these categories of vulnerable people. People of influence and of high power and position, they contact us for our help and prayers when needed. And there are two projects that were in work that I want to share with you the fruits of what happened. So this last week, we, as part of an undercover operation that somebody, I will not reveal the nation, the country yet until it's finally complete, but so there is a country in Southeast Asia that also is very much aware of our pursuit of justice in this trafficking arena. And they discovered that there were Koreans who were operating karaoke bars that really functioned as sex slavery for girls and women. And so they asked us, they, as non-Koreans, they could not access these places. So they asked us for help. And so we contacted some people who could speak Korean, and we sent them this past week to operate with them as undercover agents. And they were able to get solid evidence that shows that this group, these organizations, were advertising misleadingly and publicly and functioning as slavery for these girls and these women. And so as a result, we have hard evidence now that will be presented to people in the higher-ups of that nation to bring these operations to a close and to set these girls and women free. And so that's pretty cool, because simply by our pursuit of justice, lives are experiencing the light of Christ to drive away their darkness and new life and restoration. So that's pretty cool. Amen? So that's one thing that we want to honor God for. Second thing too. So while we were driving in Pohang, heading to this aftercare fundraiser, I get this email saying, Eddie, I need your help. And so there were three orphans who are refugees from a certain country. I won't mention the name, but it's north of here. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say. So it's geographically north of here. And so they were discovered, and again, potential traffic victims. They're age 10, 11, 12, very young boys. And so for the past 3 months, they've been asking for our help of connecting them to anti-trafficking groups, orphan care, refugee lawyers, all this stuff in Southeast Asia. And so we've been working together with them for the past 3 months to try to help them not to be sent back to their home country, because that's really bad news. But also, they did not want to send them to this country because they're just going to be stuck in detention centers as well. So they were in Southeast Asia, stuck in a detention center. But what we've been trying to work for the past 3 months is to get them to the United States so that they can be under foster care. So we've been working that, and it just got approved. Now, the other cool news that just happened this past Friday, or Thursday, is that's what the email was for. It says, Eddie, we just found out that we got approval to send them to the U.S., and the U.S. government will give priority within one 24-hour period if we can recommend a strong Christian family for these three refugee orphans. They will give them priority to be raised in a Christian family. So do you know anybody in the Southern California area that will take in these three refugee orphans within the next 24 hours? So I'm heading to the fundraiser. I'm like, let me see what we can do. And so I contact two pastors that I know who also have a heart for justice. I contacted two pastors who also have a heart for trafficked victims, who have a heart for the orphan, who have a heart for the refugees. And normally people would be, I don't know, Eddie, 24 hours, that's too short notice there. You got to give me, and I don't know about our car. I knew that they would not give excuses. Within the next 10 minutes, thank God that people check email so quickly, right? Within the next 10 minutes, both pastors of these churches said, we will take them. We will take care of them. We will provide Christian homes for them. And I was so proud of these pastors for having God's heart for justice. I was so thankful that they did not give excuses like, I don't know, it's going to be inconvenient, uncomfortable. They understand the heart of God. They understand the plight of the vulnerable of this nation and of the nations around the world. And because of that, they're like, if they're vulnerable, they're valuable to the heart of God. And if they're valuable to the heart of God, they're valuable to me. And so if they're in need, we will care for them. That is how the church needs to respond, showing the world what the heart of Jesus looks like. Amen. And more, we are in discussions right now so that as more and more orphans and refugees are found from that certain country north of us, they will also not only be sent to the U.S., but we are hoping that they'll have homes in Korea, South Korea, especially through the church. So I'm praying that OEM, that Only Church on the Korean side, that we will not even have to hesitate. They didn't even hesitate. The second that they read the email, they replied, said, we're going to take them. And I'm praying that one day, when a certain country north of us opens up and experiences freedom on that level, there's going to be a huge orphan crisis. You need to be aware of that. I am praying that the church in Korea will be more than ready so that there will be no orphans waiting for a home. Join with me in praying for that. Amen. You see, blessings fall upon those who pursue justice for the oppressed because they matter so much to the heart of God, and we are operating in a way that honors God. Great blessings flow from those who lead with justice. True freedom, true honor, true dignity, true provision, true protection are all forms of blessings that come from justice. Light driving away darkness. Life being restored in the hopes and dreams of people who were once oppressed. Amen. That is the blessing. And that is God's ideal leader who understands that my role, our role, our existence on this planet is to give glory to Christ. That we are here not for our own name's sake to be known, but that the name of Jesus might be known, respected, honored, revered, feared, loved, and adored. We exist so that hopefully we become really good arrows that point people back to Christ. That they may applaud you, but knows that you redirect it back to Him, saying, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And we operate in such a way that we lead in the fear of God because we revere Him, because we respect Him. We will lead with dignity, honor, and justice. And a third trait that is being sung, now realize this is a song that is being sung here. A third trait of God's ideal leader is that this person is governed by the Son of God. So everyone repeat, governed by the Son of God. Let's look at verse 5. For does not my house stand so with God? For He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure, for He will not cause to prosper all my help and my desire. So blessings of prosperity and help will be on those who partake in God's everlasting covenants. Now, this everlasting covenant by God was made with David to secure his throne forever. How did that happen? It happened through the coming of Jesus Christ through the family line of David. The true David, the true king of all of Israel. David was Israel's ideal leader only when he put himself under the authority of God's covenant and law. You see, only those who are under God's authority are fit to be an authority over other people. The true blessings of God fall on those who are governed by the authority of God's Son. You see, God's ideal leader is one who is led by God's Son. God's ideal leader is one who follows Jesus. Because what is the aim of true spiritual leadership? True spiritual leadership is about moving people on mission with God. It is moving people to be on the agenda of God, seeking first His kingdom. Getting people on mission with God through submission to God. That is the purpose of spiritual leadership. Allowing lives to be governed by the Son of God. That is why the mission statement of our ministry is to get you on mission with God. Our mission is to get you on mission with God by serving this church, by serving the city, and by serving the nations. You see, that is how to align yourself to be able to receive the greatest blessings from God. Those who have submitted their lives under the authority, under the governing authority and power of God's Son, Jesus Christ, saying, I am here to serve you. I'm here to serve your bride, the church. I'm here to serve this nation and the nations around the world. That is our mission. That is our function, and that is the purpose for every believer, to use our influence and power to get people on mission with God. But what about those who choose not to submit to Jesus? Verse 6 and 7 addresses them. What happens to those who choose not to submit to Jesus? Let's look at what it says in verse 6. But worthless men are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. But the man who touches them arms himself with iron and the shaft of a spear. And they are utterly consumed with what? With fire. So those who do not submit to the rule of God will be cast out. They're considered worthless and prepared to be consumed with fire. To reject Jesus is to reject blessings. And to reject Jesus is to receive the ultimate curse, not blessings, of eternal punishment in the flames of hell forever, which is ultimately what that fire is in reference to. So who is God's ideal leader? We see it in the song of David. It is the one who gives glory to God, knowing that all good things come from him. It is the one who is guided by the fear of God, resulting in the justice and blessings of God's people. But ultimately, God's ideal leader is the one who is governed and guided and in submission to the Son of God. You see, for God's ideal leader is ultimately Jesus, and for those who follow him. For the spiritual leader, as you follow Christ, you lead others on that same path so that all can follow him. That is God's ideal leader. The one who declares, not to us, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. That is the heartbeat of God's ideal leader. It is leading others to follow Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. For the glory of his name is why you exist. For the glory of God's name. Can we pray right now? And first and foremost, can we lift up prayers of thanksgiving to our God for the journey that God has taken us on? That we are who we are by the grace of God. And can we pray right now prayers of thanksgiving? Thank you, God, that through every season, through every storm, through every valley, through every season of sunshine and rain, you have been faithful to your people. Can we pray prayers of thanksgiving to our good God right now? Thanking him through every season, he is still God and worthy of praise. Let's pray together. Can we lift up a prayer right now and ask the Lord God, would you use my life and my influence to draw people to Jesus? To draw people to follow after Jesus. That's why we're here, to bring people into his presence, to bring people into a saving knowledge of how glorious he is and how good it is to live for him. So let's do that right now. Let's ask that God, use my life, use my influence to bring people to follow after you. Let's do that together. Let's pray. We also just pray a blessing into the brother or sister next to you. If you could place a hand on their shoulder and bless them this week, saying, God, use this sister, use this brother this week to influence people and to attract people to Jesus this week. Use this sister's life to be a beautiful fragrance of the beauty of Christ. Use this brother's life to cause people to be curious as to the peace of God in him. So let's bless each other for this week and for the journey ahead, that we would use our influence for the glory of His name. Let's pray that for each other. Let's bless each other with prayer right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the grace that You've given to us that we might know You and to know Jesus. Father, we thank You that it is the greatest honor that we can be part of Your family, to have Jesus as a brother, but also to have Jesus as our King. God, I ask that You would bless every single heart in this place today with the honor of being used by You to influence others to follow after Jesus. God, I ask that You would bless them this week to be a blessing to the city. God, I thank You that there are churches and there are believers who have Your hearts to care for the orphan, to care for the refugee, to care for the oppressed so quickly, so completely, that they're so ready, willing, and able to do Your bidding to people that You love so deeply. I pray that Onity Church, OEM, and Your church worldwide would become more and more on mission with You in this way. And God, we do want to practically prepare for the great flood of orphans that will result when the nation north of us opens up. Prepare Your church today. Prepare Your church now, God, to care for the orphan, to care for the oppressed, that the only bloodline that they will care about is the bloodline of Jesus Christ that runs through our veins, that the only family name that this nation will care about is the name, the last name that is attached to every believer, and that is Christ's. God, I pray that You'll prepare the church in Korea to receive these orphans into their homes when the season is right, when the Kairos season of time is ready. Make us ready to respond with Your heart of justice so that blessings will flow through Your church. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you close to His heart. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you joy for the journey ahead, and give you His heart of justice for the oppressed. Today and forever, may blessings flow to you so that blessings can flow from you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.